Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Bechoros Lamed Zayin. We begin at the Mishnah, which is about 13 lines from the top of the Amud. So a Kohen discovers a mum on his Bechor. What is he meant to do? Take it to the mumcha, to the expert, to certify that in fact it's a permanent blemish and qualifies for allowing the Bukhar to be shechted anywhere. Suppose a fellow does not show it to the mumcha, and he shechts it and he sells the flesh. And then it was discovered that he did not follow a protocol. Ha-shechet es ha-bukhar. He shechted his bukhar. Rashi adds, u-machar mibsari, and he sold the basar to unwitting customers. Oh, it turns out that he never showed it to the Chacham, and it was never certified. So, could be it was a mum, could be not. What do you do now? Masha ochlo ochlo. Look, whatever they ate, they ate. The Nefarshim explain. The Mishnah means to say it's not their fault. They were innocent participants. But he owes them a refund. He has to refund the full amount. Despite the fact that they enjoyed it, that they ate it, Rashi adds, Mishum Knas. We penalize him. The Isser Safek Havi. Or there's a girl said, the Isser Safaluhu. He fed them Isser. He should have been careful. He should have done his job. He sold them forbidden meat. You owe them a full refund. Now, whatever's left over, mashallah achlo, whatever's still around, habasar you cover, you have to bury it. Because Rashi says, the bachar tam asur bahano, we treat it as though it was a bachar tam. Right, so has the status of Bukhar Tam, especially according to Rav Meir way back a couple of days ago, that you can't show it now. So even if there's a way to figure it out, too late. So it needs to be buried, like a Bukhar Tam that dies. Okay, so he has to give them back, refund their money. And Rav Hashem point out, this element of refund is not necessarily a knas. It's just that they're returning the material, so he owes them a refund. Okay, so basically, he did the shkita without showing it to the chacham. He's in trouble. He owes them a full refund. Another example, he did a shkita on a para, on a cow. He sold the material. And then it was discovered to be non-kosher, to be a treifa, that it had some internal wound. Noida she treifa. What happens now? Again, masha ochl ochl, whatever the customers ate, too late. But he has to refund them that money as well, because it turned out to be Asur. And we're going to see in the Gemara, especially when it comes to non-kosher material, outright non-kosher, a person is repulsed from it, that he doesn't want to eat it, so he didn't have any ano. Full refund. Umashal yach, whatever meat is left over, so in this case they return the material, and the seller who refund them the cost. Now suppose instead of the customers eating, they sold it, they happen to sell this forbidden meat to a guy, or they fed it to their animals, their dogs. In this case, he does not owe them a full refund, because after all, they did not stumble and mistakenly eat Isser. They actually made money on it. But let's realize, they got paid very little. I mean, you sell it to a guy, or you feed it to the dogs, right? Certainly when you fed it to the dogs, they didn't have full value. They could have fed the dogs non-kosher meat, and they paid full price, right? So they're entitled to that difference. He has to refund them that differential between the high price of kosher meat and the discounted price of non-kosher meat, which this thing turned out to be, right? So again, they sold to a guy, or to lula klavim, yishamaloi demei treifa. So in this case, they only have to pay the value of treifa meat, non-kosher meat, and he has to refund them that difference. That could be even if they sold it to the guy for a regular price. It's irrelevant. The point is, the value they got from him is only non-kosher meat. And that's what they owe. Tanu Rabbanan. So the Mishnah, we learned that even in the first case by the Bechor, which turned out to be a mistake, he must give them a full refund. In the Brayse, we're going to see that according to Rav Shimon Elazar, it's not so. So the Mishnah works with the Knas system, we penalize him. But here comes a Brayse. Tanu Rabbanan. Ha-moicher basal chaveri, v'nimtza basal bechor. Okay, he sold the meat, turned out to be bechor meat. Perhaps it had no mum at all. Peiros v'nimtza tevalim, sold them fruit, produce, turned out to be asur, tevel, untied, yain, v'nimtza yain nesach, sold them wine, turned out to be yain nesach. Masha achl achluk, whatever they ate, too late, but he has to refund them. V'yachsh lem esadom. Shimon Elazar says, no, it depends. Depends if the customer had benefit from it. Shimon Elazar Omer, it depends. Dvarim shal nefesh katsa behen, materials to which a yid is repulsed from. It's something he doesn't enjoy. Even retroactively, even after the fact, ugh, why'd you give me a lesser tiyuch? In that case, he had no hanoah whatsoever. Yachshulan sadamim, so in fact the seller has to give him a full refund. And Rashi adds, the koma sha'achlu, eino nena lehem. It turns out, yeah, while they were eating it, perhaps they enjoyed it, but now after the fact, ugh, what did you do? You gave me a treifa, you gave me, right? So in that case, they're absolutely no hano, and they're entitled to a full refund. But if it was forbidden matter of a different sort, something which he isn't necessarily repulsed from, in that case, yinak lehem es adam. So he has to refund them partially, the difference between what they paid and the amount of hanoah they had from it. That difference he has to give them back. But he doesn't have to give them a full refund. Fill the full amount. Ve'elin, here come examples. Examples of these two, you know, categories. Repulsive and non-repulsive isur. Examples of repulsive items, nveilos, utreifos, dead, treifa, shkotzim, or masim, all kinds of lizards, creatures, which he keeps far away from. Full refund entitled. Items which don't necessarily have the same level of repulsion. Bechairos, tvalim, v'ayinesach. Okay, so Shmuel Elazar includes Bechor in the second category, items which a person isn't so repulsed from. In which case, turns out he sold him Bechor and he ate it. He's not entitled to a full refund. as opposed to the Mishnah, which requires him to refund in full due to a knas. We penalize him for selling this type of item. Continues the Gemara. Bechor Yenaka. So according to Shimon Elazar, right? If it's a Bechor, if it's Tevel, if it's Yai Nesach, he has to refund them somewhat. But it can keep, the owner keeps the rest of the money. Presumably because the customer ultimately caused them loss. Otherwise, the seller would have to give him back everything. Right? That's the logic behind this partial refund. You get some, I get some. I had a loss and you had a loss. You shouldn't have paid this much, but had you not taken it from me, I would have done something else with it. What else could you do with it? V'leimle, the customer can tell the seller, give me back the entire amount. What could you do with a bechor? It's worthless. My absent itach. How did I cause you loss? What did I take from you? I took nothing of value. Leitzricha says the Gemara must be talking in the Zavonle Memokai Muma. He sold him that piece that had the mum on it, the alleged mum, which hadn't been certified. Don't really say now the seller can tell the buyer, you ate my mum. And because of you, I cannot show it to the Chacham anymore. Darmalei ilav da achlas. If you wouldn't have, you know, eaten that piece with a mum, hava machzinalei, I would have taken it to the Chacham, even after the shechita, after the fact. According to Rabbi Yehuda, right, you can do that. V'sharani alei, and the Chacham would have permitted the whole bechor retroactively. Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda, who says you can do it even after shechita. So that's why Shimon Elazar maintains that the owner is entitled to some compensation. Next question, Tevelim. What about the Tevel item? It also had no value. It did. What do you mean? If I wouldn't have sold it to you, I would have separated the Maser, and it's good to go. Of course it has value. V'chalnu and eaten the rest. Likewise, Yai Nesach. What value does Yai Nesach have? I did Haroibis. We're not talking about straight out Yai Nesach. We're speaking that there was a mixture, a little Yai Nesach mixed into a whole supply of wine. And the seller says, look, if you wouldn't have drunk the wine, I could have had benefit. I would have sold the whole supply and just not charged for the Yai Nesach element within it. I can do that. Ukuram Shingam Leel, according to that sheet, it's not Yai Nesach Shavala Boyer. Real Yai Nesach that a guy made Asr falls into a supply, to a tank of kosher wine. Kul Asr Ba'anu, the whole thing becomes Asr because of the mixture. Rama Shimon Gam Leel, no, Yimachar Kul Leib Gicham, sell the whole pit to the guy, minus, you know, deduct for the chutz midway Yai Nesach Shabbai. So, technically, can sell the whole amount. Just not charged for the Yai Nesach. You drank it, I can't do anything with it. Of course it had value. You owe me at least partial payment. Hanulach Kol Psalam Mekdash. Okay, so in a nutshell, person sold a Bechor, which he shouldn't have, according to Tanakam, it's a Knas, full refund, deserving. According to Malazar, it's not one of those things that are considered truly, you know, repulsive and melum. It's like part and part. He's entitled to a partial refund, but he has to pay in as much as he had enough from the material. Continues the new parak with a listing of blemishes. Right, we speak about the bechor that got blemished, which allows for shechita. What kind of mum is considered a proper qualifying blemish? We're going to see the Gemara will provide very specific guidelines, rules, in terms of what's considered a mum, which qualifies. Al elu mumin shechtan sabachar. Okay, the following mumin would qualify for allowing the bachar to be shechted. Nifke ma'aznoi, so the ear of the bachar got clipped, got, you know, nicked, on the cartilage, on the tougher part, as opposed to the lower, you know, lobe skin part, because that can just recover and regrow. But in the cartilage, it's a permanent damage. Nistaka got split. Even though it's not missing material, split is sufficient to be considered a mum. Nikva, mulei karshina. Or experienced a hole the size of a little bean. Or dried up. So four examples of mumen on the ear, which are considered qualifying mumen. They're irreversible, permanent mumen. Ezeu yivesha. What defines dryness in the ear? Kosha tenakev, venim tibas dam. You puncture it and there's no bleeding. That indicates sufficient dryness to be considered a mumen. Furthermore, yivesha has to be dried up, stayed in frech, that just crumbles when you rub it with your nail. Amai asked the Gemara, why are we including the nick on the ear? Look in the psukim, which describe blemishes on the karbanos. Pisayach v'iver, it says a crippled, blind, iksiv. Those two, that's it. So why are you allowing the nicks on the ear? Pisayach v'iver iksiv, those are the ones that Torah certifies for the bechor. Ksiv nami, the answer is, there's another pasuk, kia by mum. If you discover any mum, okay, says the Gemara, so now you have a general reference and of a specific list that lands you a klalo prat. Vema, perhaps you should propose that, yeah, kia by mum, that pasuk is a klalo, a general descriptive term regarding basically all types of blemishes. Then we have specifics, pesecha iver, which is prat, which specifies these two examples. So we have a klalo, a general description, a prat, and a specific list. So it should be limited to those two only. Ein b'chlal, mashu b'frat. You can only include in the klal as per the specifics, which means pesach v'iver, crippled and the blind in. Yep, they're in, but otherwise not. Midiach rinlay, any other mum not. The answer is we have yet a third pasuk. Kol mum ra, any bad mum, any visible mum. Chazav a klal. So that's back to general, inclusive. So now you have a klal, upratu klal, and we can include more. You can only include something which is similar to the prat. It doesn't have to be only the prat. Something which has similar characteristics to the prat. How do we define the prat? Ma prat. So what's unique about Pesach Niver? Mufurash. So it highlights the specific features which are Mumen Shebegoli Ve'en Chayzrin. What's unique about those? Begoli. It's exposed. It's open. Ve'en Chayzrin. It's irreversible. It's unhealable. Avkol mumen shebegol. Likewise, other mumen, which conform to these criteria, it's exposed, it's visible, ve'en chayzrin, and it can't be healed. Therein, ask the Gemara. Perhaps we should add one more criteria. Ve'en, perhaps you can say ma prat mefurish mumen shebegol. Uboy tel mevelachtoy ve'en chayzrin. Perhaps the qualifying features on the pesach and iver is exposed. Irreversible, and also boitum malachtai. There's a loss of function. Pesach can't walk, Iver can't see. So perhaps, for a mum to qualify, it requires three criterions. Av kol mum shebegoli, u boitum malachtai ben chayzer. Alam atanam. But look in the Mishnah where we learned that even a clipped ear, which doesn't have any effect on its function, that also qualifies. Alam atanam. So why do we learn the Mishnah nifkum aznam and chaskos? The answer is kol mum ra ribuyu. Skip the klal prat klal. Kol mumra, all types of mumen, visible, serious mumen are included, even clipped ears. Well, if that's the case, why do we insist on exposed? Everything is everything. Yachi, mumen should be say tsunami, so perhaps even hidden mumen. Alam atanan, so why do we learn in the Mishnah? It has to be visible and exposed. Chutna chitsoyne, shnifkemu. So the outer teeth, which are visible from the outside, which got chipped, shnigmumu, got thinned out, shnipnimias, the ones behind, inside shenekru, it only qualifies if it's uprooted, not just plain clipped. Why? We turn them in base. Nekru in only if they're gone, then it qualifies because that's visible from the outside. But nifku v'nigmu loy, just damaged teeth in the back, doesn't work because it's concealed. Why do we need exposed? Says the Gemara. Ultimately, the pasuk does describe it as mumra. Mumra means you see it; it's repulsive; it's visible. But you know, we require mumra has to qualify as a mumra v'leka. If it's concealed and hidden, it's not. Says the Gemara, okay, fine. But why permanent mum? Yachi. If you're including everything from the words kol mum, mum over nami, perhaps even a passing mum would qualify as well. Alam atanan, but we have a Mishnah by us, v'lei min ur. Damage on the ear is only qualifying if it's permanent, but on the lobe it doesn't, or on the skin it's. Says the Gemara, mum over svarhu. to disqualify a passing temporary moment. That's plain logic. Why? Svaro, why? Hashta mifrakle bar kineliya. Let's shift to a different topic. We find that the Torah allows you to be poyted to redeem a regular carbon. A bachar does not have pidyon, but a regular shlamim that got blemished, you can redeem it due to a mum. And there the Torah specifies it has to be a permanent mum. Likewise, we'll import that rule to our story as well, to the qualifying standards of the mum bachar. Hashta mifrakle bar kineliya. Look, on a passing mum, you can't do pidyon on a carbon. You're going to suggest that you can shecht the bachar outside the midrash based on this temporary mum. The sign of what do we find that a temporary mum does not work regarding psuli hamikdashim? The sign of imkol behemat meya shilekriv menu carbon Hashem. Torah refers to behemat meya, which is redeemed. Now behemat meya literally sounds like an elephant. No, but mali mumin. She padu akasim b'davat. Torah is referring to bali mumin. Tmeya here is not a type of animal. It's a kosher, a goat, kosher animal that got blemished. Hakasim b'davat. Ato, I mean, you're insisting. They're talking about kosher blemished bali mumin. She padu akasim b'davat. Maybe it's an elephant. Yain el behemat tmeya mamish. Maybe literally a behemat tmeya. Kshuaymer. We have another pasuk which already covers that, which allows this for a kosher blemished. Kshuaymer b'behemat tmeya. Once the pasuk refers to that in a separate pasuk, kare behemat tmeya amar. So that category has been covered elsewhere. What then is the other pasuk for? Rather, we're speaking about kosher blemished. Okay, so we know a kosher animal, a carbon that got blemished, redeem it. What level blemish? Perhaps even a passing healable mum is qualifying. It has no potential for akrava. It's permanent system, permanent condition. Only covers an animal which exhibits a mum, which will disallow it permanently from akrava, yasuzu, as opposed to a passing blemish, she'ein akrava yom, although you can't offer it today, ela lemachar, but you could tomorrow. So if it's not qualifying regarding other karbanos, certainly regarding shechting a bachar, ibayseima. Another answer to your question, why do we disqualify passing mumin, imkein, pesach viver lamali? Because if anything goes, so why does the Torah trouble itself to single out crippled and blind? If not to tell you, it has to be something serious and permanent. So bottom line, which mumin qualify? What are the parameters two qualifying factors, permanent and exposed visible. Nistakav v'shalei chasru, split air, even if it's not missing material, it qualifies. Tanu rabbanan, hasedek kolshu, even a slight split, afgima, if it's nicked, bein bidei adam, bein bidei shamayim, whether manually or naturally occurring, both qualify. We're talking was done by accident, of course. Says the Gemara, Bechlal de Sedek bidei shamayim loy. So this is only a qualifying factor by a pgam. But right, it's a bit, you know, missing a bit, but it sounds like if it's just split, then if it happened just naturally, it wouldn't work? Really? Which is surprising. That's the Gemara. No, you're right. Ella, the correct approach is said the Kupkima, whether it's a split or a nick, doesn't matter how it happened, maybe the Shemayim, maybe the Adam, it qualifies. Bryce is going back on both examples. We'll come to Shia Pukima. Now, even a slight little teeny nick, I mean, what's the shear? It's got to be some sort of minimal, you know, size. Kadesha Takbati Pern. The nick is deep enough that when you run your nail over, it gets stuck. And actually, that's the same shear as we had back in Chulin regarding disqualifying the Shechita knife. And the Gemara, they actually refer to this Gemara too, and there are a couple of, you know, halachas where we apply this formula of Takbat Zipern on the Mizbeach, has to be smooth enough that it doesn't catch the nail, etc. Nikva Malay. Now, if it got a hole, size of a karshina, it's considered a mum. Tan Rabbanon. Kamen Akibas Oizim, like karshina, okay, as we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Sarida Oimer, Rukad Dasha. A different shear, it's not a karshina, it's the size of a lentil. Veda Yivesha, so that's one machlekes. Next machlekes, how do we define dryness? Again, two opinions. Shimti Noki, Veda Metzia Tipas Dam, doesn't bleed. When pricked, Rabbi Simon Shulam Omer, dry enough to disintegrate. Yivesh HaKadesh Din Nefrachas. Tana, we learn in the Braisa that the two opinions are very close to each other. Now we have two machlekes. One is the size of the hole by the Nika, but one is the level of dryness by Yavesh. Now which one is this Braisa referring to? Tana, Kraven, Devrayin, Lia, Shavan. The words seem to be very close to each other. Devrayin, Deman, which two opinions are we talking about? Elim et Tanakam Reisam Rishulam. Are we speaking about the definition of dryness? Where we had two opinions. There's a wide gap between these two opinions. Tuba, Ika, the big gap between two. They're not very close. El Tanakam Reisam Yehuda. Rather, we're talking about the size of the hole. He spoke about a Karshina. He's talking about a Dasha. They're actually very close. Now, according to Reisam Yehuda, the minimum size of that hole has to be a dasha. It's just a small prick with a needle. It doesn't qualify as a mum, right? Does it require it to be the size of a dasha, but butzer, less than a dasha, it's a small prick. It doesn't qualify as a mum. But here comes a kasha from a braisa where it seems that even a small prick on the cartilage, on the hard part of the ear, is considered a permanent mum. Actually, we're talking about an evid now. So we shift over to the evid ivri. Jewish slave who decided to stay on past the 7 years, we bore his heir until becomes an Eved Nirtza and he stays on until Yovel. Now how do we go about boring the heir? The pasuk speaks about a marzea, some sort of tool that they use for this purpose. Marzea, do you need just a marzea? Only a marzea, perhaps only marzea qualifies. Menayin the rabbis has sul. What about other types of tools? Sul, some sort of kisam, some sort of spindle. The sira is a thorn, a machat, a needle, a makdeh, some sort of other drill, a michtav, or are you writing utensil? Tamalaymar, can you do the boring with oil? Yeah, the lukacht, anything, any tool that you can take and use. Called avashinukach b'yad. Okay, any sort of tool that you can pick up and use. Divrei, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Okay, so kondor Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Even a needle, which makes a really teeny prick, qualifies. Rabbi Omer, he says, no, it has to be made of metal. Because the pasuk specifies marzea, which was known to be a metal tool. Ma marzea miyuchas matechas, just like marzea is specific to be metal. Likewise, other tools have to be metal. Okay, fine. Ktani seifa. Let's move on to the next part of the braisa there. Amar Rabbi Lasma. So he says, there was a tzaddik named Yudon. Yudon, the big scholar, Baribi, the great Yudon, Hayadayish, he would teach like this. Location. Where do you do the boring? Shein Reitzim, when they do the Ritzia, Ein Reitzim Elba Melas. Actually, they do the Ritzia on the soft part, on the lobe. That's his opinion. But, V'chacham, Ayim Rucham disagree? Look, we know there's a halacha. Ein Eved Ivri Koyen Nirtza. If the Eved happens to be a Koyen, okay? He doesn't go through Ritzia. You know why? Mishnasa Balmon, because it's going to make him a blemished Kayin. And the Pasuk says, go back. When you finished working, go back to your family, back to your former status, back to serving the Migdash, which in this case he won't be able to do. So you can't do this procedure to the Eved Ivri Kayin. Clearly, the procedure turns him into Mamum. According to you, that's on the low. There's no Mum risk at all. In time of Melas, how he writes, if you teaching us that you do it on the melas and the lobe. Heich eved koinas abamum. So in which way is the eved becoming abamum? So based on the halacha, which disallows ritzia on the eved koin, we can deduce that it's the wrong location. No, you make it on the hard part, which is a permanent damage, which makes him abamum. That's why you can't do it to the kain. Ha, oh, apparently. Ein reitzin el begayva shaloizin. Actually, you bore upper, on the upper area. Okay, now bottom line is, the braisa clearly indicates that if you do it up there, he turns into a balmum. Now what size hole are we talking? A needle! So basically, you're just speaking, right? He says even a needle. So why, when it comes to the animal, does it all have to be the size of adasha to become a mum? Amar Avchana Bar Ketina, you're right. A mum, even a needle, can make. But here we're talking about allowing you to take the Bechor and Shecht it outside. It has to be visible, clear to all, to avoid any confusion. Tosfos learns this, Adin D'Rabbanan. Amar Avchana Bar Ketina, Leikashi, answer is, Kan Lishchit, Kan Lifso. To disqualify, yeah, even a small hole. mina Torah is a mum, but lishchet, allow it to shecht, it has to be clear and visible and plain and evident, it's got to be a big hole. My karshina, what's exactly a karshina? Omrav shravya hinda, some kind of bean that they were familiar with. Boy min rav oishi, he had a shalom rav huna, rabba. So you tell me the hole has to be big enough for a karshina. Karshina nechnesis v'yeitza. Big enough to allow the karshina to slide in and out, to give it a little, you know, a little wiggle room as well. Or exactly the size of karshina just sort of gets stuck in the hole with that extra space. Amali says, Lila Shemati. Truth is, I didn't hear specifically about our question. But I heard about a similar halacha, and I can compare it. You need extra space for wiggle room as well. It says, Maloi, Maloi karshina, to allow it to come in and out generously. Kayetzeba Shemati, I heard about a similar halacha. This non is a halacha that a skeleton of a person is matami. Matami, anything under the same roof, matami be oil. It's not a shidra. You have just a spine or gogoyah, it's just a skull. They're significant. Enough portions of the skeleton, they're matami be oil. Well, let's say they're missing. Shechasru, they're missing parts. Then it's no longer matami be oil. How much missing is missing? Kama chasaram b'shadra, on the spine, how much is going to be missing? V'loi matami be oil to cancel the tumas oil. B'shama oim shtei chulio is missing two vertebrae. One vertebrae is enough to discount the tumah. Oh, what about the skull? The hole is big enough for a magdeach. It was a known size, like a drill, a certain standard size. If it's missing that much, it loses the tumah. No. A different formula. If a person in his lifetime can survive with this partially missing skull, then it qualifies for tumah, but otherwise not. When does it lose its tumah? If it's missing enough that if it would been during the person's lifetime, he would die, he couldn't survive. So if he can't survive with this missing portion, then it's no longer going to be metame b'oil. Okay, so according to Beishamai, it's Mlay Makdeach. According to Beisilil, it's about survival. V'yasa Rav Chizah. Rav Chizah was sitting, coming by and he was questioning. Survival, how much is that? Kishinotum Nachai V'yomis V'kama. Give me an amount. How much is that? Amalei Rav Tachlifa Bar Avradimi. He says, Hachem Hashmol Kesela. The size of a sela, of a certain coin that they used. Okay, V'yitma. We learn further. Rav Safra Amar Shmaitz. So this is quoting Shmuel, right? Who gave us the shear of Selah. Some say it was related as just a halacha, the name of Shmuel. Right, Rav Tachlifa quoted Shmuel as just a halacha. Amarle. Rav Shmuel Bar Yuda Amar, he had a different, slightly different version, Masnisa Amarle. That he was quoting Shmuel as a brice, he was quoting a brice. Okay, in any case, either this or that, v'simonach, a good way to remember, Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, very often in Shas, we find Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda related to Tani, with that Lashon, so here as well, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda's version on Shmuel was a Braisa Tani. Fine. Now, once we established that the survival shear of Isilo is the size of a cell of a coin. Now we're in trouble. Why? Vamalei Rav Chizda, who had posed this question, responds to the to Rav Tachlifa, who gave him the answer. He says, you say survival is a cella? Vamalei Imkain, if that's the case, you've just merged Bishamai, who gave us a share of the drill Magdeach and Basil, who speak about Selah, because it's all one and the same size. How do I know? I don't know it yet, but coming in a minute. If that's the case, Osisa Divrei Bishamai, who speak about Magdeach, the drill, Ulu Basil, who speak about survival, which equals Selah, Echad, it's one and the same opinion. So what's the Machlek is about? How do I know it's one and the same? It's not. I'll show you in the next Mishnah that Magdeach and Selah is one and the same. Moir. So like a window, a hole in the wall made for you know, which brings in light. Marshal and Asabi the other wasn't actually built, it wasn't done by way of a human person or a human, you know, intervention. It was just a natural something, collapse, and there's a little, you know, crack in the wall. Shirimlay Egrif Gadol. So if it's the size of a big fist, it's big enough to allow a transfer of tumah from one side, from one room on the one side to the room on the other side. Legor of Gadol was considered a large fist. Zeo Greifish ben Abatiach, this fellow ben Abatiach had a really large fist. That's the size. Or Rabbi Yosi, another way to measure. B'yeshna Kuresh Gadol Kol Adam, it's the same as a large size head of a person. That's if it's a natural, but Nasa B'di Adam was done by way of human effort. So it gives it more prominence, more chashivas. It's made for, you know, actual function. In that case, even a smaller hole qualifies. Shiaru or shiurai kimulei makdeach. Oh, back to the drill. Size of a drill bit. Godol shal lishka, a big drill that is used in a lishka in the Beis Hamikdash, which is the same size as a sela coin. Shukim punyon, same size as a punyon, a certain coin, Italian punyon, and also another. Another example, ukasela neroinus, size of a sela coin, called sela neroinus, on the name of named after Neroin, who was the Roman ruler. V'yeshnei kibulei nekev shaloyel, it also corresponds to the size of the hole in the yolk of the animal. Okay, bottom line, makdeach and sela is one and the same. So back by the skull, Beis Shammai's Makdeach, and Beis Hillel's survival, which is Sela, again, is one of the same. Ishtik didn't have an answer. He was stumped. So Rav Chisda came back for the rescue, but Amalei Rav Chisda, so Rav Chisda proposes, oh, perhaps, when Beis Shammai speaks about Makdeach, the drill bit size, we're talking about with some wiggle space. Shema Magdeach v'chisumoy shaninu. Rashi explains, you know, sometimes you want to enlarge the hole, right? What do you do? Especially if you only have one bit, small one. So you use the small one and you just wiggle around until you get bigger and bigger, right? Chisumoy is the blockage. So basically, the extra boring around to remove the extra blockage. Basically, if you enlarge, you get a bigger hole. And that's what Beis Shammai meant. They meant the size of the drill bit plus a little extra, you know, cleaning up on the side. Shema Magdeach Chisumoy Shaninu. Perhaps that's what we learned. That's what they meant. In which case, it's bigger than the regular standard Makdeach discussed in the Mishnah with the hole in the wall. They were talking about a small size Makdeach, just a regular, the actual size of the bit, which corresponds to the cella, whereas Beis Shammai talking about an enlarged Makdeach. So yeah, they're talking about a different size. Maybe that's the solution to the question. V'amar lei Rav Tachlifa, so he responded with excitement, yeah, great move. Lei tei Hashem, you don't have to propose with a maybe. Elavadai makdeach v'chisumai, certainly I agree, makes very much sense that we're talking about the enlarged hole, and in fact, that's the correct meaning. Tzorech litolos aleh, you have to lean on it, you should be totally confident with this interpretation. Kechizkia v'ikesh, as per the confidence of Chizkia v'ikesh, who's confident in his halacha coming up tomorrow, certainly that's the correct solution. Okay? Fellow sold forbidden material, he owes the customer a refund. To what extent? We have a discussion in the Gemara, depending on the level of repulsion, according to Rav Shimon Lazar. In the Mishnah, we have a chiddush that according to Chacham and Bai Bechar, outright refund, a total refund because it's a knas, you shouldn't have done it. We discussed that a mum allows the Bechar to be shechted. What qualifies as a mum? It has to be something permanent and mumra, visible and exposed, to allow shechita, the size of the missing material on the ear, is either a karshino or kadosha. Although minatur, even a small prick qualifies as a mum, but to be allow shechita, we need a more significant and visible type of mum. The Gemara concluded that the size of the kashina is not just the actual bean, but also it's a little wiggle space along the sides. Okay, all the best to you and much hatzlacha.